but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Our next guest comes to you from the Locked On family. Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On College Football. Specifically zeroing in on the Oregon Ducks in the Big Ten Conference. He will be at Big Ten Conference Media Day, July 21st through the 23rd or so. I will be there as well in Las Vegas, and he's joining us now. What are you hoping to get out of Big Ten Conference Media Day, Spencer?
Well, that depends on which coach has taken the stage. I would like to figure out who's going to give the most embarrassing speech at Media Days, because Deshaun Foster ran away with it last year. And I would like for Greg Schiano to take the stage in Vegas and tell us that Rutgers is located in Piscataway, New Jersey. That'd be really great. So that's goal number one on my end, John.
I love it. You're right. Deshaun Foster was deer in the headlights. It was such a bad moment, so awkward. And then their season kind of looked like that at the beginning of the year. Spencer, you know, the Big Ten Conference, I think, you know, a lot of people looking at the last two national champions and saying, could it be a three-peat? You've talked a lot about Penn State. Are you still feeling bullish on the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, I am. And the reason is that they have all the tools you'd want, all the ingredients to make a legitimate national championship run. The blind resume test between the three betting favorites in the league, Penn State, Oregon, and Ohio State, not in that order, if you did a blind resume and showed it to, you know, a decently informed college football fan or just someone who understands the sport, I don't think that many people would be picking Penn State. I think you'd have some that would jump to Ohio State, maybe, if I said won the national championship last year. But, you know, the amount of returning production for Oregon and Ohio State just pales in comparison to Penn State. Penn State's top five nationally, I believe, in returning production. They're going to be incredibly similar to last year. Oregon and Ohio State are both outside the top 75. It's going to be very different. Now, Ryan Day and Dan Lanning have proven to be such high-level coaches that you shouldn't expect those programs with the way they recruit to fall off the face of the earth and pull a, you know, Washington TCU style drop off following a national championship caliber season. But I just think that Penn State, with a veteran quarterback, they've got two great coordinators. Their defensive coordinator was Ohio State last year. And, you know, I think Oregon fans saw in the Rose Bowl how good Jim Knowles can be. That's probably the best coordinator hire that was made all offseason, maybe might be the best coaching hire that was made all offseason. And, you know, the parts of Penn State's roster that aren't similar, you know, you'll have to Abdul Carter and one of their starting offensive linemen, and they'll have to replace that. But you returned plenty of production in the trenches, and you also went out and got some high-end receivers in the portal that are going to help you address what was a huge need last year. They could only throw to Tyler Warren, right? That was their passing game, Tyler Warren and running backs. Well, they have a talented tight end who's on the roster, not as experienced, but you've still got two running backs, and you've got three receivers who I think are going to be a massive upgrade for Drew Aller behind center, and he's got the tools to be a first-round NFL draft pick. So when you're trying to put together a national title contender on paper, John, what you tell me or anybody else out there, what is Penn State missing?
I am looking at the Nittany Lions. I like them. They've got Oregon at home. Maybe a little chip on their shoulder, given how things went. They were sniffing around it a year ago. You're right about all those things. What about James Franklin, though, and his inability to win those big pivot games?
Yeah, it's a fair criticism because he's been there for a long time. The record against teams that, you know, he's a slight underdog or any kind of underdog against is pretty poor, or where the point spread is tight. I think that's an incredibly fair criticism. You know, I had a buddy who I still give a bunch of crap to about this, John, who is a broadcaster and a big Michigan fan. And Harbaugh was hired, I think, around the same time James Franklin was, roughly, maybe a little bit after, at Michigan. And the same narrative plagued Jim Harbaugh for many, many years. Do you remember the days where it was, Harbaugh's never going to beat Ohio State. Harbaugh's not getting Michigan over the hump. Harbaugh's not going to do it. And I sat there and said, man, you got to be kidding me. It's not like he's far off. The guy's a really good coach. You look at his rivalry record, and you're factoring in that one of those rivalry losses came to Michigan State when his punter dropped the ball. Whoa, was that some poor aspect of coaching? Or was that a fluky play at home that turned into an iconic college football moment with the great Sean McDonough on the call? Like, I saw that play out for years. I think there are some similarities here. You know, people ask the same questions about Kirby Smart for a long time. Is he ever going to beat Saban? He can't beat Saban. Man, he's just not going to get over the hump. Oh, he's good. He was there for about almost a decade or so, or more than half a decade, before he won his first national championship. Everybody wants it to come to fruition right away, and we act like James Franklin gets in these big games and then gets destroyed. He lost to Ohio State by 7. He lost to Notre Dame by 3. He lost to Oregon by 8. Like, there's a difference between can't and haven't, and I think James Franklin hasn't yet. I think this team is the best chance he's had to do it.
There's going to be a lot of questions about Michigan. There's bound to be. And I've heard some whispers, Spencer, about Michigan. Maybe their time is up. Maybe there's no coming back from where they've been, that this coaching staff is not a Jim Harbaugh coaching staff, that the playing field has been leveled. What do you make of the sort of the runway here for Michigan as they try to get back to the top of that conference?
Well, the floor on their program with Sherrone Moore is really high because his style doesn't really allow them to bottom out. It's just so easy and repeatable. You know, you look at TCU in the Big 12 that went national runners-up to going 5-7 the next year. That was predicated on an NFL-caliber quarterback and a great offense and, you know, explosion and all this stuff. And it's not that that isn't a formula that succeeds consistently. I think there's a little more volatility with it, whereas Michigan, you know, wasn't a great team last year, but they weren't a bad team either. And Sherrone Moore is just a really good game manager as a head coach. And, you know, being able to play really solid defense and run the football as the foundation for your success, you don't have to pull in top five recruiting classes to do that and be a good program. And I think they do recruit at a high enough level to where he'll get them, not this year, but next year, back in the Big Ten championship game picture. So I think he can take a little bit longer to build. I just think that he's too good of a coach and can manage the game too well, and has been in too many of those close grind-out situations, like Harbaugh was throughout his career, to, you know, ever just fail to succeed at any sort of level.
Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On College Football Podcast with us, also a contributor at 750thegame.com. Spencer, Oregon, great season a year ago, undefeated. They still haven't lost a Big Ten game. Wrap your head around that one. Dan Lanning and the Ducks, they seem to take a step forward in each of his three seasons. What's a step forward for Lanning next year?
Next year or this year?
This year.
This year. Well, you can't have a better regular season or pre-postseason situation than what Oregon had last year. So improving wouldn't physically be possible. You could maintain and go 13-0 again. I don't think Oregon's about to have a couple of two seasons where going into the postseason they're 26-0. I think that's asking quite a bit. I think for Lanning, with the team he's going to have this year, how young they're going to be, how talented they still are, and how good they should still be, I think you have to find a way to win a playoff game. Whether that's in the first round or the quarterfinal, I don't think it really matters. You just have to get in that environment and and get those guys the experience of winning in that particular setting, because what you don't want to have happen is for a cloud to start to hang over the program, kind of like James Franklin has had happen at Penn State. Like that big game thing, players and coaches can pretend they don't hear it all they want. They hear it, and that sort of thing can get into kids' heads, and we're dealing with 18- to 21-year-olds, and I think that's what a step forward is. I don't think Oregon goes undefeated in the regular season. That's asking a lot. I think that they should be able to get in the playoffs. They should be able to win a playoff game, depending on who that matchup is against, but I think if you get into the postseason and in any round you win a playoff game, I think that's the next step forward for the program. And obviously getting past last year would be great and all, but I think that that could be too challenging for a really young team, but I've seen crazier things happen.
Washington wants to matter. Nobody's talking about them as a contender in the conference. What needs to break Jed Fish's way for Washington to be a surprise this season?
They've got to be better in the trenches, and they've worked to address it. I don't know that their O-line will be great. They brought in a guy from Kansas State at tackle who I think will be good. I don't know that they've got the game wreckers on the defensive front like they had when they made that run to the national championship game. I mean, ZTT and Braylon Trice coming off the edge, those guys were beasts, and the offensive line won the award for the best in college football, winning the Joe Moore Award. And I think that because Penix and the receivers were so great, you forget that a lot. But, you know, I watched Jed Fish's team a lot last year, and Fish is a good coach. I think he has every ability to succeed at Washington for however long that he stays. The skill positions are starting to come together. Takario Davis and Ephesians Pride Soccer, a great cornerback tandem on defense. Denzel Boston's going to be an early-round pick in the NFL draft, a receiver. I like Jonah Coleman, a running back. I like Damon Williams, a quarterback. The trench play just has to improve. I mean, 10 sacks to Oregon last year. Like, that's you got a long ways to go. You feel like before you're at a Big Ten championship level in the trenches, you're a couple years away. You're not 1 year away, especially at Washington, because they don't do a Colorado or, you know, Ole Miss-level transfer portal overhaul. I don't think that they were 1 or 2 years away from getting there. I think he can get them there. I just think they need to have more elite pieces in the trenches before they can feel like they should get to the Big Ten championship game.
You watch him at Arizona, you know, it was that third or fourth, you know, that third season really where it started to turn. And then, but you also have to wonder, can he keep Damon Williams Jr. happy if they're not successful? Is he a flight risk in your mind if Washington doesn't show a big step forward?
He shouldn't be. Washington should have plenty of NIL investment to keep Damon Williams around. They should be able to acquire enough talent to keep him around as well. And I think we saw that when, you know, Michael Penix decided to come back. Those are the, you know, for a second season with Washington, those are the sorts of things that didn't historically happen as much as they do today, and I think that's in large part because of NIL. I know Washington is not necessarily on Oregon's level when it comes to NIL spending. I think there are plenty of people up there who want to get to that level, and they should. I don't know if they have to be on, you know, Oregon, SMU, Ohio State's level to get back to a national championship program, but I think you would be raising a lot of red flags if a guy who is Jed Fish's dude and looks like the quarterback of the future and was really impressive as a youngster a season ago, if that guy is not able to be kept around, I would raise a lot of alarm bells up there in Seattle. But I'm not here saying that I expect that to happen. I don't think he's a major flight risk. Of course, crazier things have happened. Nico's playing at UCLA, for goodness sake, but I think they'll do enough to go forward this year to keep him happy and around. I think the weapons that they've got are certainly good enough. But like I was saying with Washington, they've got to be better in the trenches. I mean, last year Oregon ran for 6 yards a carry and didn't allow a sack, and Washington gave up 10 sacks in the game, and Jonah Coleman ran for 3 yards. Like, that just comes down to offense and defensive line. I think that's the only thing Washington's really missing.
Spencer, the Ohio State question is out there. We've talked about Penn State and Oregon and Michigan, Washington, but Ohio State, you know, they're the defending national champions. They still have Ryan Day. They still were recruited at a high level. Where do you see the Buckeyes in their title defense?
I think they're one of the 10 best teams in college football. I don't know how you could put them outside of that. I wouldn't put them as the preseason favorite going into this year, because they lost plenty of veteran experience. They do have probably the two best skill players in the country in Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. And they're working in a new quarterback. They should be pretty good along the offensive and defensive lines. I like the Bo Atkinson pickup along the defensive front from North Carolina. I think he could be a real good player for them. But I'm curious about the coordinators more than anything, John, because do you remember who Ryan Day's defensive coordinator now is?
Didn't they steal the coordinator? Wait a minute. Who did they steal from?
Their defensive coordinator stolen by Penn State. That's Ohio right. State will be coordinated by none other than Matt Patricia this year.
That's right. That's
and right. To say that that is near the top of my curiosity list is an understatement, because, man, he was not a good head coach of the Lions, but he's not being asked to be a head coach. And Bill Belichick trusted him for a reason, but I don't know how much we should really trust Bill Belichick in modern college football. So we've seen some home run hires like Jim Knowles and Chip Kelly. We've also seen some whiffs from Ryan Day, and every coach is going to have coordinator whiffs. And I think Brian Hartline is offensive coordinator, being the wide receivers coach, replacing Chip Kelly. I think he'll be fine, and that's Dave's side of the ball, so I have more faith there. I'm curious to see if Matt Patricia is good enough to coordinate Ohio State back to at least the national semifinal. I suspect, like Oregon, they make the playoff but don't get as far as last year.
Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On College Football Podcast. Is there a surprise team that we haven't talked about? Is there a Wisconsin or an Illinois or an Iowa or a Purdue out of left field? Is there somebody that could be a disruptor in the Big Ten that you're kind of interested in?
Illinois, you said it, John. I am pretty bullish on Illinois this year for a couple of reasons. Number one, you've got an experienced coaching staff under Brett Bielema, who has been there for several years and just had his best season as the Illini's head coach. Number two, their schedule is incredibly favorable, particularly in Big Ten conference play. Their road games against Big Ten foes are Indiana, Purdue, Washington, Wisconsin. They've only got four, and it's not an easy slate. One of them's Purdue, which shouldn't be all that hard, but their home games include USC and Ohio State, and I think they're going to win at least one of those games, USC, of course, being more likely. But this is a team that, like Penn State, will be very similar to last year. They were a double-digit winner. They beat everyone's playoff darling, South Carolina, at the end of last season when we were debating who should get in and all that. South Carolina lost to Illinois in the bowl game, and the Illini went 10-3. Luke Altmyer is back as a veteran quarterback. There's a lot to like with this Illinois football team, and they have got a very clear identity. They know who they are. The schedule is pretty favorable. I think Illinois is going to be a really, really fun team to watch this year. I'm not picking them to make the Big Ten championship game, but you said a dark horse or disruptor. Yeah, I would watch for the Illini.
Tony Pacitti, the commissioner in the Big Ten, he will be speaking at Media Day. He's been at the center of a lot of different things, including the playoff expansion, automatic bid conversation. Anything that you want to hear from Pacitti or would ask Pacitti on Media Day?
Yeah, I'd ask him why four automatic bids for the Big Ten and SEC is something that all college football fans should be happy with. And also why a continually expanding playoff is something that furthers the sport, not just the pocketbooks for those that are financially invested in it. Because I if they're going to a 16-team playoff and those talks have stalled, which I'm happy about, I'd rather they keep it at 12 and stop expanding. This is just nonsense. If they're going to a 16-team format, if you really believe that your conference is better than everybody else, except maybe the SEC, but hey, the Big Ten has won two straight national championships and plays nine conference games, not the SEC, then you shouldn't have a problem putting your teams out there without guarantees that they get into the playoff. You should feel like, hey, we're going to showcase on the field why the committee will put us in. And I know a lot of people are anti-committee, John. I'm not one of those people. I'm really not. I don't think they get everything right. Nobody does. I am more pro-committee than most, because when I think about the teams that have made the playoff over the years and the teams that have been left out, I can't think of a major instance in which I felt the committee got it wrong, because I would have left Florida State out of a four-team playoff. That's what I wanted them to do. That's what they did, and that was the right decision. So I think that the committee having power is generally a bugaboo, a really awful thing. This committee, I mean, Joel Klatt rails against it all the time, and I'm just not in that camp, because I do want there to be an element of mystery rather than guarantees and automatic bids and all of this nonsense. I don't want to see any of that. I want every college football game to matter as much as possible. We're already minimizing that by expanding the playoffs and proposing expanding it even further. So I would like for teams to go into every week thinking, hey, we have to win because we don't know what the committee's going to do, rather than, oh, we're locked into a top four seed in the Big Ten. Who cares what happens in this football game?
Spencer, you're the best. I will see you in Vegas at Big Ten Media Day. Thanks for joining us, man.
Indeed. Great to talk to you, John.
Good to talk with him. There he is. He really likes Penn State. Steven, are you as bullish on the Nittany Lions as Spencer is?
No, I'm not. He talked about James Franklin and how it's not necessarily his fault that they've lost in those type of big games. He also has really never, ever beaten Ohio State or Oregon or Michigan, and I think that is a problem when you go forward. I also don't believe in Drew Aller as much as he does. I know the NFL scouts are kind of loving him. I have never seen him and watched him and been like, yep, that's a guy that can win a national championship. It reminds me a lot of when they had Sean Clifford on their team as well. Like, it's not that he's holding them back, but I don't think he's good enough to really make a play, and I don't think they're extremely more talented than everyone else, like Ohio State was with Will Howard. So I think the quarterback, yeah, you're bringing him back, him and the coach, you're bringing him back. I don't think it necessarily matters that much because I don't really trust those two guys.
I know after the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis last year, like, Franklin was really kind of miffed at, you know, and he was looking at the stats, and they outgained Oregon in some way. They ran all over the Ducks. They out-physicaled Oregon, and they lost the football game. And it was a little bit of a disbelief and then this disrespect that Penn State was getting. They have operated on, in the shadows of Ohio State and on the fringe of those top teams in the college football upper tier for a number of years. And I'm just curious to see if, like, this, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time they punch through. But I am left looking at Ohio State going, they're going to reload. Agree that there's questions about the coordinators. I forgot that Matt Patricia was the guy. His Jim Knowles has moved on to Penn State. Good move by Penn State to go get the coordinator from Ohio State. They've stole some state secrets there, so to speak. Oregon, I think, is going to be fine. They'll be in the upper part of that conference. Illinois is interesting. I agree. Indiana, I don't think, can do it again the way that they did it. Michigan, there's just some shine that has come off the Wolverines that I'm not ready to declare that they can get back. And we saw it last year, and particularly in that game against Washington. I don't know. Gun to my head, I think I'd pick Oregon to win the Big Ten. I think they'll go to Penn State and lose, but I think they will get to the Big Ten championship game. I think Oregon, with one loss, could win the Big Ten championship again on a neutral field. Some parting thoughts coming up. Leave it here, the BFT.